We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? It's the end of Week 11, and the Kansas City Chiefs are the only AFC West team with a winning record, hold basically a four-game lead in the division with just seven regular season games remaining. A seventh straight division title is on the horizon. What a beautiful thing here on this magical Monday morning. And how about this for your daily nugget? Patrick Mahomes is 14-0 in his career on the road against the AFC West division. That's good for the second longest winning streak by a starting quarterback in road division games since the NFL-AFL merger. Former Chiefs quarterback and San Francisco 49ers standout Joe Montana owns the record with a 20-0 road winning streak per ESPN's stats and info. Found that on the Chiefs Wire. Shout out Charles and everybody over there at the Chiefs Wire for doing great work. This is KCSN Update, your daily Chiefs podcast and video from us here at KC Sports Network. I'm BJ Kissel, founder of KC Sports Network and former Chiefs insider and sideline reporter. It's Monday, and that means it's time for our stock up, stock down report with my guy, Matt Miller from ESPN. But before we do that, let's get a quick word from our friends over at DraftKings. NFL Sundays are only getting better, and so are the incredible offers at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. And check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same-game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, player props, point totals, and more. Anytime scores personally is one I have a lot of fun with. You can do it across the NFL. Always feel like you got a shot. And with payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is my go-to when betting on the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KCSN and place a $5 pregame moneyline bet to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code KCSN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, now we bring on Matt Miller from ESPN. Matt, I know you're not a Chiefs fan. You live in Chiefs Kingdom, but that was just a beautiful Monday. Everything is great today. That was very satisfying for Chiefs fans last night against the Chargers.
It has to be. And you can say, like, I'm not a Chiefs fan. I've lived in Missouri for every year but one of my life when I lived in Kansas. So
don't say it like that. Don't talk down on Kansas like that.
I have nothing against Kansas. I'm not one of those. I have friends, and you know, I live in Joplin, which is 10 miles maybe from the Kansas state line. I have friends that won't eat in the state of Kansas. I'm not one of those people. Like, I'm not going to not go to Joe's, you know, or Q39, like, or Jack Stack when I'm on that side. I'm still going to get my Minskies if I'm on the left side of the line or the right side. I really don't care. So there's all the free advertising your podcast needs.
I appreciate your pettiness doesn't extend to where you will and will not eat.
It's not that serious. A great Monday for you guys. It was just a fun game to watch. I think I caught myself hoping it would go into overtime because it was such a fun game. But as per usual, it comes down to Mahomes and Travis Kelce. It comes down to an amazing play call by Andy Reid, which I saw in Peter King's Football Morning in America today. The same play they called last year to beat the Chargers in December. So the nuances like that make it fun. But I think something we've said, this is like our 12th Monday doing this, great players make great plays when they need to. And it was Mahomes, it was Kelce, it was Chris Jones. And those three are, you know, the clear foundational pieces of this team. And they all made great plays last night that really echo why I think Chris Jones should be a first-team All-Pro. Travis Kelce, we'll get into him a little bit later. He's maybe the greatest tight end of all time. And then Patrick Mahomes just continues to be silly.
Yeah, I think the more you contextualize what we saw last night from this team, and it's fun because right now, at least for me, like the emotions are still going. Like I'm on an emotional high after watching that game. And then you start to peel back, you know, how special it is what they did. And you start to how special it is what this season has been. But in that game specifically, so many guys were out for Patrick Mahomes and he didn't miss a beat. If that wasn't the strengthening or locking up the MVP award, I don't understand what the MVP award is about. Kadarius Toney goes out. Yeah. He was going to be a guy that was going to at least make some simple plays, get chunk plays just because of his athleticism. And that's counting on, that's putting a lot on a guy that's only been with the team for a couple of weeks. But Juju's not in there. Mecole Hardman's on IR. MVS was banged up. You have all these new faces. You have Justin Watson out there. You have Sky Moore out there running around. Like, for him to do what he did, I mean, Patrick Mahomes went 20 of 34 for 329 yards and three touchdowns. And granted, all three of those went to one dude, but to make the plays that he was making with so many new faces on the road in a 2-minute situation to win a game, doing the 2-minute drill, it was awesome for me to listen to Coach Reid and Patrick Mahomes talk about how confident and how calm they were on that final drive, because I saw it for 6 years. They work on this stuff all the time at training camp. And a lot of times, fans, when you go out to training camp, you see them running around. And if you're really paying attention, you can see the clock. You can kind of gather what they're working on. But they're working on these 2-minute, these 4-minute drills, situational football. Hey, we're down 4 with 2 minutes on the clock. We're running out there. We have no timeouts left. They practice this stuff all the time. And so when they're in this situation like they were last night, they get it done. It was a beautiful thing to watch. And you could tell that everybody was on the same page and they spoke about it after the game.
No, absolutely. And I think, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. So my first stock up, BJ, is Travis Kelce. And the reason I jumped the gun and tell you that is because I think something that we saw, you mentioned it, that 2-minute drill, I was losing confidence in the wide receiver core, not Travis Kelce. I was losing confidence in the wide receivers there for a while. And you almost saw Mahomes get frustrated. You know, there was a moment where he's pointing, telling someone to like go in when he got flushed out of the pocket. And they didn't look like they were on the same page. But again, and like, I don't want to take away from the greatness of Travis Kelce. I don't want to get used to it and miss that games like last night are special, where when everyone in the freaking stadium knows where the ball is going, it doesn't matter. His ability to find zones, to get open. And I think what makes Mahomes so brilliant is that he makes great defensive coordinators or defensive play callers overthink things. You end up with, you know, an Asante Samuel on Travis Kelce instead of Jerwin James, and it's a game-breaking play. And so I think what Travis continues to do at age 33, he has multiple 3-touchdown games this season. It's truly one of the great seasons that he's ever had, and we've still got, like, what, 7 games left for them? 6-7 games left? So it's been super impressive, and again, we know how great he is, but I think players like Travis Kelce deserve their flowers on a Monday morning when they took over a game that was at halftime. I looked to my wife and I was like, I don't think you guys are winning tonight. The defense is not playing well. The passing game is not clicking like it normally does. I don't feel good. And then fourth quarter, really. I mean, the third quarter, the Chiefs didn't do a whole lot. Fourth quarter comes around and it just, you go back to what works and it's so hard to stop.
Yeah, we're going to get to the defense here in a minute. But before we move on from the Travis Kelce, I actually clipped this for another show that I'm recording today called 10 Things that, if you're listening to this, go check that out. There's a lot of cool nuggets on that episode. And basically what that is, I just go through records that were broken, stats, just cool storylines, things you might have missed, just all kinds of just cool nuggets. It's a lot of meat. It's just me basically talking at you for like 30 minutes, giving you a lot of nuggets to go tell your friends. But one of the clips that I got from the post-game pressers last night, Matt, I want to get your reaction because this sums up Travis Kelce so perfectly to me when people ask me, and not that I was around him a lot, friends with him, whatever, but had a chance to be around him behind the scenes when there wasn't a microphone in his face. And so when he says things like this, I can genuinely say, like, that's exactly what he means when he's when he answers these questions. So listen to this here real quick.
Never gets old, but Mahomes to Kelce, what's that like in a big game like that?
That game was a lot more than just Mahomes to me, man. And it's that's why it was so fun. You got a guy like Sky Moore coming up big throughout the entire game. On top of that, Justin Watson, I mean, even in that last drive for us, you know, Marquez gets his going early. Pat makes a huge play with his feet. It's just those are the best, man. Those are the best. When everybody gets a piece of the pie, that's the best.
So here's some context. That was the first question that was asked to Travis Kelce when he steps to the podium after getting six catches for 115 yards and three touchdowns in a game winner at the end of regulation against the best safety in football and became the all-time leader with the most 100-yard games in NFL history, passing Rob Gronkowski. This is setting it up on a tee for a player to make it about himself for a second. And it took him 15 seconds to mention Sky Moore, Justin Watson, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and give all the credit to his teammates. This isn't BS. This isn't, you know, trying to say the right thing. This is a genuine, if you listen to the way he says it and you watch his mannerisms, the fact that he credits his teammates and talks about us, them doing it together, I absolutely love that stuff. And that's the kind of attitude that resonates in that lot. It's bigger than him saying it and us reacting to it as fans. His teammates see it and then they all buy into it. Because when your leaders talk like that and they act like that, it resonates with everybody else.
Absolutely. And I think it would be, it's a contrast from what we've seen in other press conferences from this week, where, you know, Zach Wilson won't take any responsibility for his offense playing terribly. And then here you have a guy who was the offense for so much of that game. Spread the wealth and say, no. Like Sky Moore stepped up big when we needed him. Justin Watson stepped up. Noah Gray steps up. And he's right. But it would be easy for a player of his stature to take all the credit instead of deflecting it. And in doing so, as I think a lot of people know, you're lifting those guys up so that when Sky Moore has to step up again next week, he's got someone boosting him a little bit. And it was just, I mean, top to bottom. That is why I think Travis Kelce will go down as the greatest tight end in NFL history, because games like yesterday where nothing's cooking, your top two receivers are banged up, and he just, like you said, you got the greatest safety in the league right now against a play caller who's fantastic, and you still have three touchdowns. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's special. I love seeing that stuff. I love hearing that stuff because that's the kind of stuff I've always been caught up on that matters. It's the reason that you go win Super Bowls, because it's not always going to be pretty. There's going to be a stumble in the next seven regular season games. Yes. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. And when Sky Moore or one of these young guys screws up or does something, a learning experience, whatever you want to call it, Travis Kelce goes over and talks to him on the sideline. They're going to know he's being genuine, not just doing it because he feels like he should. They're going to know that he's got their back, and that's going to mean something for these young guys to step up. And I'm sure we'll talk about the young guys here in a minute too, but I know your next stock up is flipping the other side of the ball, talking a little bit about the Chiefs defense.
Man, Chris Jones, he's not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he should get votes, or he should at least get, like, if it was a ranked choice situation, he should be in second place behind Michael Parsons, because
AFC Defensive Player of the Year.
Right, exactly.
We'll call that the award.
Split it up. He should be first team, first pick, All-Pro defensive tackle. I tweeted this Sunday, and you guys can go find the tweet and look at the replies. It's basically every fan base naming their defensive tackle, which is just moronic. No defensive tackle is playing better. There are guys playing very well. Quinn Williams is playing very well. Jonathan Allen's playing very well. I love DeForest Buckner. You know that. John Allen's playing great. Aaron Donald continues to be fantastic. Javon Hargrave for the Eagles. No one is playing better than Chris Jones. And we saw it again last night. Two sacks, three tackles for a loss, countless hurries. I haven't seen the pressure numbers come out yet, but just phenomenal. And he's doing it. Again, it's a lot like Kelce, where you know who you have to stop and you can't do it. And I think, you know, you got to shout out the rest of the defensive line. Mike Dana played well. George Karlaftis, Frank Clark back after his suspension played well. Carlos Dunlap continues to be an incredibly important role player. The entire defensive line played great, but Chris Jones is just on another level. I haven't seen him ever play this well. I think this is the best season he's ever had. Maybe I don't even know if it is statistically, but effort wise, you know, impact wise, what he's doing for this defense, this is the best season I've seen him have. And it's just like he's hit that next level of his game and no one can figure out how to stop him right now.
I don't sound like a broken record, but you listen to Chris Jones after the game talking about his season. You know what he talked about? Mike Dana, Frank Clark, George Karlaftis, Joe Cullen, yeah. His new defensive line coach came over from the Jags this offseason, gives credit to everyone else. And the context of the conversation or the question was, you know, what has Steve Spagnuolo done to get you guys in the right spot? And he credits his coaching staff, credits his teammates, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, Chris Jones, I think there were a lot of Chiefs fans, especially you just follow the narratives on social media, which kind of gives you the sky is falling or we're the greatest team to ever live, depending upon how they're playing. And I get caught up in it too, but you watch social media, there wasn't a lot of pressure up front in the first half. I think it was really a tale of two halves for Chris Jones and for the Chiefs in general. But early in this game, they were doing a good job. The Chargers were getting Herbert outside the pocket, rolling him out, giving him kind of some of those free lanes. But when the game counted late in the game, Chris Jones did exactly what you would expect a defensive player of the year candidate to do.
Collapsing everything, just causing havoc. You know, I think I really thought they did a good job on the broadcast of pointing out you know, where Mahomes had that split the coverage and had that nice long run. Herbert couldn't do that because of Chris Jones. It wasn't just because of the 3 or 4 man rush. It was because of Chris Jones singularly dominating. And I think it bodes well. We've peaked ahead at the schedule. There's no one that can stop this dude right now. I think you can even look at the state of the AFC and say who can stop him right now, especially with the way the Bills are playing, you know, with Josh Allen being banged up. It's taken away some of that run threat. I don't know that there's anyone that can stop Chris Jones right now or that can hold this defensive line down for 60 minutes as well as they're playing. And that they're kind of getting in sync together, which is great to see.
Yeah, and even when they're not getting a ton of pressure up front, Steve Spagnuolo isn't afraid to bring a bunch of extra guys anywhere, bring a bunch of pressures. But
it's probably going to set a record for, you know, DB blitzes in a season. I don't know if anyone tracks that, but they should.
And honestly, it's coaching, it's timing. Like, they practice this stuff too, and it's not unique. Every NFL team does. These are professionals for a reason. But you think about the Willie Gay sack came at a really crucial time. God. That timing was absolutely perfect. And you can't tip it early. You can't come late. The margin of error is so small, especially with these blitzes and the way they do things. I love Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator because he's not afraid to send guys. He is going to zero blitz you as a quarterback in the red zone. They aren't even trying to hide some of those. They line them all up and they're double A gap pressure. Like, they are lining them up saying, we are coming right after you. You're going to get the ball out of your hand and we're going to trust our DBs on the back end to be sticky and make a play. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. All right, Matt, before we move on to the third stock up, I'm going to do a quick honorable mention because we're not going to talk about him much on this show, but I talked about it on the post game show last night. Harrison Butker deserves some credit because for me personally, I've always said he's gonna be one of the best he's one of the best kickers in the AFC, but he was in a funk. Hopefully mentally he could get past it, all of those things. Chiefs won a 3-point game on the road, made all three of his extra points, made all three of his field goal attempts, including a 52 yarder. Great to see Harrison Butker step up in a time that he was absolutely needed to be nails last night, and he got it done. And so I didn't want to go. I'm probably going to mention on every show this week because we talked about special teams a lot. And I think we'll talk about it a little bit, but shout out to Harrison Butker for being,
he's the difference.
Being nails when he's needed.
I mean, three field goals. And like you said, to hit the extra points, it is one of those things that we've talked so much about it. Of like, God, that's going to come up at a big time. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to suck when he misses an extra point or a chip shot field goal and you need it. But last night, and you know, he hears the talk, you know, they're not so insulated from the talk that they don't hear it. So you're absolutely right. He deserves some credit this week.
All right, and now we're going to take a very, very short break. But after this, we're going to talk about one more stock up that I know you and I are really going to enjoy talking about.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we're back with our stock up, stock down report with ESPN's Matt Miller. Matt, final stock up report. I think we've talked about this gentleman a handful of times already this year, but you can't not continue talking about the guy who put this roster together when you have so many young guys stepping up and playing well for a team that's 8-2, basically sealed up the AFC West division. And you got to give Brett Veach a lot of credit for how this is all coming together.
Yeah, you really do, PJ. And it's not just the first rounders. It's not just George Karloftis, who is playing well. It's not just, you know, Trent McDuffie, who we saw, you know, a full game from again. It's picks like Isaiah Pacheco. It's picks like Sky Moore, who, you know, Sky Moore, I think we all still hold our breath when he returns a punt, but he had 6 targets last night. He had 5 catches, and he made some difficult catches, and he's gaining that trust from Mahomes and the play callers. So I think that is – things are headed in the right direction. So it's not even just the 2022 draft class. It's signing Carlos Dunlap. It's, you know, picking up Jerick McKinnon, who has played such a huge role for this team. It's, you know, unearthing guys like Justin Watson, who, you know, are at the Senior Bowl, but no one's talking about when they're there. So I do think that Veach deserves continued credit. I know some people were, not very many people were.
I was sitting in the stands, and there was the guy that we're talking about right now is talking about Justin. There's statute of limits. I think I'm okay to talk about it now. But yeah, I followed Brett Veach and the Chiefs personnel staff around that week, and he kept talking about Justin Watson. That way, when they signed him, I was like, ooh, he's making the team because our GM really likes this guy.
But, you know, BJ, even Nick Bolton, who is leading the team in tackles, I think he's still one of the league leaders in tackles right now. That was not a popular pick among Chiefs Kingdom when it happened. And I'm sure there are people who are like, wait, no, I loved the pick. By and large, it was not the most popular pick, but it's, you know, it is that mix that they have found. And Joshua Williams is playing well. Legarius Sneed was a great find. So I do think Veach went through a weird, you know, kind of, there was a weird cycle where I think people weren't sure how much of this was him or how much it was, you know, inherited from Dorsey or how much of it was Andy Reid. But I think we're seeing his blueprint, you know, his fingerprints all over this team. And then it's the best roster in the NFL right now. And that says a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you nail the DBs you talked about. They nailed, and not that they've, and Creed Humphrey has played really well. Got the BS call last night, which made no sense to me, but we can talk about that. Stock down, we'll get stocked down. I'll do an honorable mention for the refs. We'll talk about that a little bit. But Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, that up and down, but overall has been solid. And you mentioned Sky Moore, and I thought one of the most telling plays wasn't the in scheme, or I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but not within the framework of what the play design was. There was a play that Patrick Mahomes scrambled. It's when he threw back across the middle where Sky Moore kind of dove for it. He didn't know if it skipped, but he got his hand underneath it. That was a broken play. And if you focus and you watch the end zone view of Sky Moore and what he did, basically I call it like the outfield turn where he turns his head and runs back the other direction. And got himself open for Patrick Mahomes, who was leaving the pocket. That is a very much a feel kind of play, and very much a Patrick Mahomes needs to know that when he leaves the pocket and everything's kind of sped up a little bit, that his receivers are going to do what he expects them to do and find a way to get open. And those are the plays that are more impressive to me than the over route where he beats Derwin James. Like, is as good as Derwin James is, you put Derwin James one-on-one with Sky Moore where he can put a move on the open field, I trust Sky Moore to make that play because we've talked about his route running, but the broken play where he found a way to get open and find a pocket in the lane for Patrick Mahomes to deliver him the football. That's the stuff to me that stands out more as to developing trust to get out on the field more at a time in which they needed him to step up and make some plays tonight.
No, he absolutely did. Yeah. And I think it, you know, even moving forward, we don't know exactly when Mecole's going to be back. Someone get that man a new TV, by the way. We don't know what, you know, what Juju's going to look like when he gets back. I think, MVS has been, I don't want to say a disappointment, but he hasn't been the impact that I think a lot of people hoped that he would become. You know, I think he had one catch last night. So it is good for Sky Moore to step up. It, you know, Noah Gray, as soon as he got healthy, has been a big part of the passing game in terms of targets, at least. So, I mean, Veach, I've said before, BJ, he's not going to win Executive of the Year, but he should probably be in the running for it every season with the way that this roster is built.
I think he'll take another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think he'd rather have that. You know,
I think he'd rather
the number one seed in the AFC, or his, you know, the guy that he called Michael Jordan before he had played two games in the NFL. I think he'll be happy with him winning another MVP award. So it'll be okay.
Mary came up to me before the Chiefs and Titans preseason game that first year, where to this day, I still think the most impressive throw that Patrick Mahomes has made in his NFL career was against the Titans in a preseason game. Whereas the one, I believe it was where Kevin Dodd like tore his ACL or got really injured on the play where he hit him late. He was scrambling to the sideline and he just flung it up to Demarcus Robinson, like 50 yards down the field. He saw Marcus Peters going crazy on the sideline. It's still one of the most impressive throws that I've ever seen. But before that game, Leach walked up and he was like, "Happy Patrick Mahomes Day." Like, the game hadn't even started.
He
yet.
Hid that.
He's like, "Oh wow."
You know, I mean, I can remember being in New York getting texts about, you know, not, I mean, just from people who worked there in general, people being like, I mean, they were freaking out that they got Mahomes, and it was like, "God, you guys really liked this player." And, you know, every front office acts like they really liked the player they picked in the first round. Usually you can read through it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that one was different. That one was like everyone I knew that worked in that front office at the time was doing, you know, jumping jacks and backflips. They were so excited.
I've told the story. We'll move on to our stock down after this, but I've told the story before about going down to, it was in Houston. It was the Radio Row before the Super Bowl. And two things stand out to me about that trip down there. Because the only time we went down there, it was the Patriots Falcons, the 28-3 game. It was the media leading up to that. And the Chiefs had just lost to the Patriots in the playoffs. So it was kind of a weird time to do content, but everyone in the NFL is there. So that's why, even though the Chiefs weren't going there, every NFL team reporters and all, they all go down to Radio Row. Cause you get this high concentration of all the people who cover the NFL are all in basically one giant room doing just interviews all over the place. Well, one, I'll never forget talking with Travis Kelce while I was there, because he sat down, had a very candid, probably the most open conversation I had on camera with Travis Kelce in 6 years was that Radio Row interview, where he said that he had never felt more strong about his position on the team than when his teammates voted him captain. Cause he was kind of like, to his point, kind of a knucklehead when he was younger, just really talented, hadn't really figured it out. But when his teammates voted him captain, that's when it hit him. I've got a platform to step up and be a leader on this team. And it changed everything from his perspective from that moment forward. I'll never forget that conversation. And I'll never forget, Matt Lee Stenberg's son, Matt, came up to me and he was like, "Hey, with Patrick Mahomes, you want to interview him on Radio Row? Do you want to bring him to your table?" And I was like, "Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a drafted quarterback. He's the guy I want to talk to." First question, "Hey, you know, Patrick, nice to meet you. Like, what do you know about the Chiefs?" And he listed off like all the scouts and everybody that he'd been talking to. And I was like, "We can't use any of this." We cannot. I'm going to get fired. Like, we cannot use any of this stuff. I appreciate the answer. We'll get to some more stuff that we can use, but. I looked at Seth, the producer, who's now with the Bengals, and I was like, "Do not use that. We will both get in a lot of trouble if we use that." But yeah, it was pretty obvious that we were on him from the beginning. But let's move on to some not as fun things to discuss, because that's what we do here with the Stock Up, Stock Down. So if you just want to keep riding the high, you can stop listening right now. But to be fair, let's talk a little stock down, Matt. What was the first thing that you're questioning or you're a little bit uneasy about as it relates to the Chiefs going forward?
Yeah, BG, there's not a lot to complain about when you win a division game against a team that always plays you well, against a good team. When you win, there's not a whole lot of negative. But I will say we have to continue to talk about the special teams unit. Yes, Harrison Butker was better this week. Tommy Townsend's having a great year at punter. But it's still mistakes. You know, it's catching a kick inside the 5 yard line. It's just small issues continue to pop. And I think when you have a team that is so good and so talented, little things do tend to stand out more like that, because you're looking for a stock down when we're watching the game, and it's okay, what could become an issue? And it is that special teams play. Mahomes is going to be great. Kelsey's going to be great. We've talked about how well the defense is playing. Special teams is lagging behind right now, and it's unexpected because of how, you know, high profile Dave Tabb is a special teams coordinator. You know, there's been head coach talk about him before, and it just feels like the unit has slipped. It's been sloppy, and that is a big surprise for me. So I have to go stock down on special teams again this week.
Yeah, and the Pacheco one, I think, pissed everybody off. And there's a lot of reasons. Not something he's super confident or, comfortable doing. He hasn't done it a lot. And I try to give the benefit of the doubt on that play, because if he lets it bounce and it takes a weird kick and the Chargers get it, we're going to be even more pissed. So we all just assume that ball was maybe a yard was where it would have bounced. And when it's going end over end, there's a 90% chance. I'm making that number up. There's a high percentage chance that ball bounces out of bounds. But if it doesn't, we're all going to crucify him for a in hindsight, 2020. Oh, catch it. Keep your momentum and then run back in bounds. Like he couldn't just step right out of bounds. So a little bit of grace there, but figure out a different, like, that's a tough one, and I'm trying to give as much benefit of the doubt, but we've seen it before. Young guys back there. Hopefully he learns in that situation just to let it bounce or play shortstop, back up a little bit and try to play it off in case it takes a weird hop, but don't catch it and then run out of bounds at the 6 yard line.
Yeah.
And then on the return, the other side, on the return side, we're giving up some return. Not that they're like these 50, 60 yard returns, but you know, DeAndre Carter last night had a 33 yard return.
Yes.
Had another one over 20 yards. Like they're averaging, you know, pass, like you catch it 3-4 yards in the end zone. You bring it out. You expect them to stop before the 20 yard line. Cause that's what the Chiefs had always done. And now these guys are getting out to the 25, 26, 30 yard line. It's just not what you come to expect from the Chiefs special teams.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's why it stands out. And I'm sure there's fans watching this that are like, all right, if you guys are really bitching about special teams, then everything's pretty good. If that's the low point. And
that is
absolutely
true. That's
right.
A fact.
You're absolutely right about that. But we have to point out when something looks like, hey, this could be an issue. Let's try to button it up. This could be an issue.
Yeah. Everything is easier. And the conversations would be different if the Chiefs had lost that game.
You know,
the conversation around Jerick McKinnon would be very different if the Chiefs had lost that game, considering his fumble. Like, no one's even barely going to talk about that because Patrick Mahomes went God mode with Travis Kelce and the Chiefs offense, and the defense stepped up and everybody rallied around and picked him up. We've seen Jerick McKinnon. Actually, we were sitting next to Kent Swanson. I was like, here comes a Jerick McKinnon screen. They're around the 30. I think it was like second eight, something like that. He's a perfect time for a Jerick McKinnon screen. He's made so many big plays for the Chiefs that you give a little bit of grace in those scenarios. He has not had a mishap like that. And it was great that they overcame it, but man, the conversation would be different if the Chiefs hadn't pulled that one out.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. A lot of that, we would be talking about the running backs of like, what the hell's going on? You know, Clyde's hurt and not a factor. There would have been the punt mishap by Pacheco. And then there would have been the Jerick McKinnon fumble. So yeah, there would be a lot of fingers pointed.
And the play calling.
Absolutely.
And feed Pacheco. I mean, at one point, all social media was talking about was the fact that Isaiah Pacheco was getting so many chunks of yards running the football. And then I think, you know, Andy Reid, I think somebody had tweeted out like, hey, here, I think it was Jeff Rosen from the Kansas City Star. He ran it like 8 times on one drive. He's like, Andy Reid's checking social media. He's listening to all of you. So he ran the ball, got the field goal. It's amazing how the narratives and the conversations change when you pull it out. And now it's just Mahomes is great. Everything is great. They overcame these mistakes. But, yeah, definitely a different conversation. But you've got another stock down, again, being super picky with this one, to be fair. And we'll break this one down a little bit. But what's your second stock down for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go offensive line, BJ. And I think normally, you know, on Monday we have sat here and said, man, rough game by Andrew Wiley, or Orlando Brown, you know, it's given up a lot of pressures. He doesn't give up a lot of sacks, but he gives up a lot of pressures. And I think today, you know, similar concerns. I think there were 6 times Mahomes got hit last night. That's a lot for someone that moves as well as he does and that extends the play as well as he does. And it was not just Orlando Brown. It was not just Andrew Wiley, but I thought Joe Tooney had a rough game last night. And it would be notable if it was like, oh, wow, you know, Aaron Donald really worked Joe Tooney. It was Morgan Fox. You know, and it was Sebastian Day Joseph. It wasn't, you know, all pro bowl type players who were having that impact. It was, you know, guys who were solid. Joseph Day is a good player. He's a solid starter. He's not Chris Jones. He's not that. You don't expect him to have that type of game. So, with the offensive line, sometimes it's just miscommunication. Sometimes the team just has your number a little bit, or, you know, maybe you're a little tired out there, but I do think going forward, if there's a concern about how deep this team can go to the playoffs, can they get another Super Bowl? The offensive line has put Mahomes in some really tough situations, and he's getting hit a little bit more than I would like to see because he is so obviously important to this team, but he needs to be able to move. He needs to be able to run around and make plays. You don't want a hobbled Mahomes carrying this team.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, especially because going into this season, the offensive line was considered a strength. This was going to be like a top 10 type of unit.
I thought it was the best line in the NFL. I mean, even say, okay, right tackle is the weak link. Even with that, this is the best offensive line of football was where I would have ranked them in August.
I'm sorry, if Andrew Wiley's the weak link on your offensive line, you got a pretty good offensive line. Like, yeah, to be fair, like, exactly. He's a solid football player that is valuable, can play a lot of different spots. But everybody's going to point out the one guy is getting beat, and he goes and gets beat by Von Miller, and he's getting criticized for not being Mitch Schwartz, not being an all-pro. And all that. Like, you can't have all-pros at every position all the time. But, yeah, I think it's context of that. And then, you know, I think it's a tale of two halves, too. I think the second half, the Chiefs offensive line did a much better job. Yeah. That first couple drives, I even tweeted out after the first drive. I'm like, hey, you know, great to see the running game get going a little bit. Pacheco had a couple trunk plays early, so they were getting it done. But Mahomes got hit twice on the opening drive. And then I think he got hit at least one more time on the next drive. And so of those six hits, I think three of them came on the first two drives by the Chiefs offense. And again, and we've talked about this with Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus, because Chiefs like top five in pressures allowed, but like also top five, I guess bottom five, however you want to look at it, not being a good thing, but allowed the fifth most of the one of the five teams allowed the most pressures. I'll get through this, Matt, I promise.
That's all right.
And then on the other side, like, but giving up like the fifth least sacks. Yeah. I mean, it's basically a Mahomes stat. It's like he's getting pressured, but they're not bringing him down. And in the second half, like they leaned on that running game a little bit and they were opening holes and Pacheco's running hard. And so, yeah, Coach Reed said after the game, as far as the running game goes, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has got the high ankle sprain. And very rarely do you get any more kind of information out of Andy Reid, but he basically said it's really tender and this is a tough thing for a running back. So maybe this is when we see Ronald Jones. That's all Twitter's been talking about, is give Ronald Jones an opportunity. Yeah. Maybe this is it. But at this point, he's still number two to Pacheco. I'd still give Pacheco the ball and let him get after it. And Jerick McKinnon's still going to be the third down guy. So yeah. Maybe they bring Rojo up. Maybe they sign CJ Spiller. Who knows what he's doing?
I don't know. I think Pacheco's the guy. He had 100 yards last night. You know, I think more opportunities for him are better. You know, he runs so angry. The urgency that he runs with is very, very unique in the NFL. So I think, you know, hey, if you want to bring Rojo up, that's fine. You don't have to have three backs on the active, but I think it's time to see what the rookie can do in a larger role. You know, give him the, you know, 15 carries last night. I think give him 20. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Let's get crazy. All right. We're going to talk about the refs because I know everybody's got a take on the refs. We're going to talk about the refs right after this. All right. We're back with ESPN's Matt Miller with our stock up, stock down report. We've gone through the stock up, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, and Brett Veach. We talked stock down with Chiefs special teams, offensive line a little bit, again, being very, very picky. And then we've got a bonus stock down for you because these fucking refs, man. Like, sorry for the language. I didn't apologize for it on the post game show. I got to apologize for being emotional after that one, but damn, it's bad. It's bad. And
yeah,
what was your opinion as a more unbiased person watching that game than I am? What was your opinion of what was going on with the refs?
I think they're bad all the way around. And I did. I had Chiefs friends texting me being like, what the hell's going on with these refs? And I'm like, well, like, I mean, I watch a lot of football. The refs are bad across the board. I think there's the face mask call on Mahomes early in the game that they missed. Yep. It was pretty obvious. But then, you know, you have some plays in the Chiefs. Like Nick Bolton, you know, just was not letting go of a face mask at one point. And it's like, okay, well, you got to call that one. So
yep.
I do see it as equally bad across the league. I know every fan base believes the refs hate their team. And let me tell you, 31 fan bases think that the NFL loves Patrick Mahomes so much that they're going to give the Chiefs calls. I don't see it. You know, I think that it's just a lack of consistency is why we have conversations like this where, you know, call things across the board and they don't, you know, and that's the human element of football that I think we love. Same with any sport, you know, it's why we don't have robot umpires in baseball yet or why they still use a chain gang to mark first downs. We love the kind of the uniqueness of that human element. So I don't think the Chiefs are getting more or less calls. I mean, you could show me numbers that are you know, go against.
I'll show you a bunch of plays from last night.
I mean, yeah. And I will say it goes that way for every team. It really, truly does.
I don't believe you. I'm going to be pissed about this for a while.
I think there are units that are worse than others, like refs, like groups of refs that are obviously worse than others, or they have a thing that they're calling more than others, but Y'all maybe got away with an offensive pass interference in that last drive. So,
offensive pass interference,
right?
That happens really in like right. You can't extend your arm, which every receiver does in the NFL. Right. That's the worst.
I'm just saying,
it's probably impossible to call. I think it should be called like 50% of the time. There's like a hitch route or anything, like any kind of stopping route. Like, receiver extends his arm, it's an automatic flag. That's the way the rule is written. The ones that pissed me off last night. After the Travis Kelce, Derwin James, okay, what's it near the line of scrimmage within 5 yards? It was early in the game, the little slant. It's like, okay, you're going to let him play like that, fine. And then I think it was on the next drive, Marquez Valdes-Scantling gets completely turned around by the DB in a very obvious way. When the DB gets turned like that, it should be obvious to anyone that he's not doing that himself. He can't physically move his body like that without being turned. It's similar to like when the DB puts his arm around the hip. On the over routes, and he kind of gets turned. Turns his hips. Like, you know, he's pulling on him. Throw the damn flag. After Kelce, it's like, okay, you're going to let him be physical. You're going to let him play. And then MVS gets completely turned around. They don't call it. I don't understand the Kadarius Toney call. I'm still assuming that they called the wrong number on the chop block thing.
Yeah.
That made no sense. The Creed Humphrey holding call made no sense to me.
Yeah.
And I'll give you, if they're going to let him play physical, even the Noah Gray one that Patrick Mahomes is calling for, where I thought the linebacker made a great call, but even that's a 50-50 call on the kind of, it wasn't face guarding, but that's how I'm going to describe it because, I mean, it was, but not illegal, but he made contact with him before he caught the ball. I like not calling that one. And the one I will agree with that Chiefs fans were all upset about, the Nick Bolton hit on the sideline, 100% a flag.
Yeah.
Like that 100%, I will complain about the refs, but that was 100% the right call. You can't do that to quarterbacks in this league.
The Patriots won on a punt return, a walk-off punt return where there was a clear block in the back that didn't get called. So did the Jets deserve to lose? Absolutely. But, you know, that it does go both ways.
All right. You got anything else for us before we let you go? I'm going to be fired up about the refs. A couple of those.
Thanksgiving.
The Creed Humphrey call. That's not holding.
Yeah.
Upset.
I agree with you on that one. But, you know, hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And Chiefs Kingdom and the KCSN group. I'm thankful for my friendship with you guys. You should be thankful that you have 15, 87, and 95.
I thought you were going to say, you should be thankful that you're friends with me.
No, I would never say that.
No. You know what? And why we're on the thankful thing, I'm thankful, man. We're doing some cool stuff, and this is a little self-promotion because I'll get into the solo Casey Raffleman, but you've been doing the coat drive deal for a long time. Can you just share a little bit about what you do down there? Because we've been friends for a long time, and you've been doing this for a number of years, and I think it's really cool when anybody uses their platform to try to do good in their community. It's something that was important to us at KCSN, that when we create, you know, content for Chiefs fans and we get people's attention, that we use that platform to do some good for the community as well. You've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, this is, I think, year number 10, where it started with getting like autographed items from players, auctioning them off, and then using that money to buy coats for kids. And it's grown to, you know, now we do a golf tournament every year. But right now is kind of the important time of year before Christmas to raise money. So right now we're raffling off a signed Aaron Donald helmet. We've done a Mahomes helmet. We've done Travis Kelce jerseys in the past. So I think we have at least two more items we'll do before Christmas to try to keep raising money. But I mean, it's cold in the mornings, and I take my son to school just like you take your kids to school, and you see little kids with shorts on or t-shirts on, no coat. It's like, gosh, there's a huge need for everyone, and similarly, just want to use your platform for good, like you guys are. So it's very much appreciate your support and the support of you know, Chiefs fans that are always helping us out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And anybody is curious what we're doing with the, so they can find all of Matt's information on that on his social media. I know he links off to it a lot at NFL Draft Scout. You find all the information there. And then ours, you can find at KC Sports Network with our Soul of KC raffle. Same kind of deal. A lot of different items. The coolest one, Matt, this year, I don't know if you saw it, but lunch with Colin Saunders. You and two friends get to go have lunch. How cool is that?
I was so excited
when that came together.
As a guest, you know, I don't know, but I'm definitely going to buy some tickets. I know that.
There's going to be barbecue. I'm going to let Colin decide where they go, where they eat, but it's going to be a good one. But I think there's 25 items in total, and that's one of them. So a lot of cool stuff on there. You can find all that information on our social media, but appreciate everybody for hanging out and spending part of their day with us. Matt, man, always appreciate it. We'll have plenty more content for you breaking down the Chiefs versus Chargers game over the next week. And appreciate all of you. We'll see y'all later.